There are some wonderful tools from my past that have been completely subsumed by phone applications, desktop applications, and inside of web browsers, which is wonderful because so many people get a chance to use them now. But there's always this risk of forgetting how special it was when they were a part of my life, separate, physical items that got the job done. Probably one of the most joyous ones from my past would be an item called the Tascam Porta Studio. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Peter Healy, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Time has wiped away exactly why my friend Jeremy Stone and I thought the natural thing to do would be to start a band in high school. It was just something we naturally thought would be something we could do. And I'll state for the record that Jeremy had way more musical talent than I ever did. Guitar, keyboard, drums. While I was much more fascinated with the ability of equipment to record and play back things and being able to manipulate what those were and produce stranger and stranger effects. The first time you figure out that you can pause a tape and make some changes and bring it back and time doesn't appear to have moved on the tape, that's a door opening. Manipulation of voices and sounds, being able to transfer them from a variety of sources and then mix them together is a recipe for an explosion of creativity for a young person. Such it was that as we started to work together as a band, we realized that we wanted to record our music and not just demand that we be part of different talent shows or school band nights and be that odd act that plays first or maybe even last to get people out of there and is considered to be either the joke, the comedy, the relief, or a dependable way to ensure that at least one slot was being filled that night. Instead, we thought of our projects as things that needed to be constructed, put together from a variety of methods, and then turned into some sort of product that we could share. And it didn't take us long to figure out that we were going to need some sort of equipment to do multi-track recording. In the very off chance that people don't make recording technology the center of their lives, I'll say that in the previous century, being able to digitally record sound and then play it back was an idea for only the most far out and completely irrational minds because memory was expensive. Machines didn't have the kind of audio output that would easily be able to emulate something like a record or a cassette or even a CD. You needed some sort of permanent storage. And of those media, tape was the least expensive. But multi-track recording, the ability to put different tracks at different times onto magnetic media, was still pretty expensive until the announcement of the Porta Studio. The Porta Studio was hundreds of dollars, to be sure. But compared to the thousands of dollars that you would expect from a professional setup, it was essential for going from dreams to an attainable reality. And so, with the luck and the privilege that Jeremy and I had at the time, we ended up buying one. The Tascam Porta Studio model that we bought allowed up to 4 tracks to be recorded on a regular cassette. It could be any commercially available cassette, except you wanted to spend a little extra money on the one that had all of the claims of permanence and high quality, since you were going to be using it a lot. Cassette tapes were generally two-sided, 2 tracks on one side, 2 tracks on the other. the Porta Studio would only work in one direction and allowed you to put all four tracks to use. Now, while four tracks doesn't sound like a lot, it's actually quite a bit when you consider we could stop and start anywhere we wanted to, record different parts at different times, and if we really needed to, in the heat of the moment, it was possible to bounce tracks, where you would take tracks 1 and 2, combine them into 3, and begin re-recording over 1 and 2 again. While somewhat reduced quality, what felt like infinite parts, our band, Bovine Ignition Systems, had, at its heart, a powerful way to record what we were doing for what felt like a truly permanent medium. As the musical heart of the band, Jeremy could record all of the parts, put down drum tracks, play keyboards, add guitar solos, and I could assemble all sorts of sound effects, record vocals, and buy little boxes at Radio Shack that would add reverb and echo to what we were doing. It is beyond belief now, and I don't know how best to explain to somebody who didn't live through this, that you would go down to a store and buy a small black box that you were able to plug audio cables into, and then there would be sliding knobs on the front of it that would enable you to manipulate the sound in various undefined ways, and then output another cable with this new effect added to it. So after we would put down the music for our songs, we could create this spaghetti-wired mechanism for adding all sorts of vocals and sounds over them and give the song what we thought would make it particularly special. I think a lot of being in a band in high school gives you skills that become incredibly useful in your adult life. Being able to put down creative thoughts, thinking about how to make different parts mesh in, knowing that you could manipulate time and wait days between parts until you felt you had just what you needed. So much of time when you're young feels linear and uninspiring, and that it just marches along while you have to go along for the ride with no voice in it. Having multi-track recording at your fingertips and talking with your friend in between takes about what aspects you can fix gives you an enormous sense of power. Jeremy and I recorded multiple albums on this Tascam Porta Studio. We brought in friends to do guest vocals. We would do field recordings of environments and places at school, or even go to the record store and buy sound effect records where you could add explosions and car crashes and screams to your songs if you thought that was just the round of pizzazz that the work needed. At the time, I felt like we weren't putting out enough songs, that we needed to work harder at it. But with the perspective of time, I can tell you that 2 full albums of music, along with a bunch of bonus songs, is not bad for 2 kids across 2 years in the latter half of high school, while still totally being teenagers and going to school and having friends and going to movies and doing all the things you do when you're 16 and 17. And I think a lot of that was being able, at any time, to pull out the Porta Studio and start messing with it. The Porta Studio itself was a plastic marvel, and it had a very unique form factor. It was rectangular, it had a plastic window for the tape itself, a whole variety of counters, and large buttons you would press to allow recording on one track or another, and a lot of the feel of a real mixing board all in one truly portable piece of equipment. I loved having it around, and it fit on top of bureaus and tables and could be completely out of the way until the moment you wanted to use it. The way the Porta Studio left my life, I think, was pretty appropriate. While I was at college, I hadn't brought it up with me, but one of the people I was collaborating with, a musician named Tom, I happened to mention that I had a Tascam Porta Studio, and he asked if I could bring it up after fall break. So, when I went home, brought it back with me to college, and handed it over to Tom, who began using it a lot. It became how Tom did a whole variety of music for the projects we were doing in college. The last time I ever saw it was when it was being used as a mixing board for a live show being put on by some of us at the college. It was off to the side with Tom's instruments plugged into it from every direction. It was like a simple machine with a cyberpunk level of wiring going in every different direction. And it was being used to drive the mix of what people would hear from the band during the performance. And that was it. After the show was over, I never saw it again. These tools are wonderful, and it's always sad when you think of them being stored away, never used again. But the way that I saw this machine I had spent so much of my high school youth on faded out of my sight and my memory, replaced, as so much else has been replaced, by the ability of computers to do every last aspect of them easily, quickly, and cheaply. I've long ago lost those little black boxes that did reverb and echo. The Tascam Porta Studio lives on in my memories and my heart. But like so much else, has been replaced with a concept that does so much of what it used to do, except, and I don't know what we're losing when we lose this, an item that I hold in my hands and feel as I felt so many years ago, the infinite potential, like I held a key to infinite possibilities. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bequianu, Forrest Fuqua, Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Corey Thomas, Matt Reynolds, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Many, many years later, I had an iPad, and there was an app you could buy for a Tascam Porta Studio. You could literally buy and install a program that would look like the top of a Porta Studio, with the sliders, the turning cassette, and the ability to record on different tracks and even bounce them. Except all of it was perfect, clean, and in many ways, completely different than what I remember. I had a very strange feeling using it. It felt like I was looking at an old friend, but in many ways an actor recreating who that old friend was, saying the words and wearing the clothes of this person now gone, and never quite capturing them, only being a faint echo to remind you of some of the feelings you used to have. As somebody who spends so much time turning experiences digital and emulating as much of the world as I do, I have to recognize that for a certain amount of people, who may include me, virtual, computational, drawn versions of a real life there once was, perhaps will only serve as, at best, memorials for things truly and completely gone.